Welcome back to Radio Oberg on CFRU 93.3. We're going to take you right now to an interview with the Oberg Forestry Group.
Hi, and you're here with Radio Oberg.
Oh, there we go. Now you're really here with Radio Oberg. And I am in the interview room with more people than I've ever seen fit into the interview room. So I'm here with most of the members of the Forestry Working Group. That's Serena, Ryan, Tegan, Natalie, Hugh, Rhiannon, Maya, and myself, all in the interview room. It's getting a little toasty. And we're here to talk about the Lands for Life process and just basically what's going on. So let's start maybe with some history. What is the Lands for Life process, and how did it get started?
Well, basically, it's a major planning process that was started in 1997 by the Ontario government, and the idea was to basically once and for all settle public land disputes and say, okay, well, this area is going to be protected, this area is going to be for resource management, this area is going to be a conservation reserve, and establish boundaries and do it on a term sort of lands for life, 60 to 100 years tenure. And one of the main objectives of the Lands for Life process was to actually complete the network and system of protected areas and provincial parks. And in light of this, this whole planning process was started, and it went through a lot of phases of public consultation, and roundtables were established. And maybe you take it from there, Hugh.
Yeah, it's probably worth talking a little bit more about what roundtables are. The idea of the roundtable was to break up Ontario into, or break up the sections of Ontario that Lands for Life is dealing with into three different sections to make it a little bit more localized. Those sections were known, just given names of Boreal East, Boreal West, and Great Lakes St. Lawrence. Each of those segments then had a group of people who met on a fairly regular basis. The people were appointed by the government. Those were called to make decisions regarding those areas. They were called the roundtable members. They were appointed by the government, and they were the idea was they were to represent the local people and the diversity of points of view. As it turned out, who they represented is, well, probably something we can talk about more now. The process itself of meeting and creating recommendations took a little over a year, which is significantly faster than most such planning processes have taken in Canada and around the world. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the Temagami situation. That took 5 years. A similar planning process in BC was four. This was a little over a year.
And maybe it's a good idea to tell people about how much area is actually involved in this. This is around 46 million hectares. It's a little bit under half of Ontario. Roughly, it's bigger than the size of the Yukon Territories. So it's a big, big area. And the Comprehensive Planning Council, which Oberg Radio has covered in the past, that dealt with planning in Temagami, took 6 years to go through and to get all the input. And this was a very streamlined process. We're going to get all the public consultation in, we're going to get all the recommendations done, and now again to follow the suit of sort of putting speed before maybe wisdom, the recommendations came out October 30th, and we have 30 days to respond, which means being, what is it, November 25th, we're now 5 days away from the final deadline that we again get to comment on the 242 recommendations that came out of this process.
It might be worth pointing out that those recommendations are the final opinion, or the tentative final opinion of the round tables, was their decisions based on public input and stuff. And those recommendations are submitted to the Minister of Natural Resources, and it's up to him what he's going to accept and or not.